This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning, and hope you're all having a very good 4th of July holiday weekend. And kind of in the spirit of that, in that venue, we heard Dave's excellent report on the National Parks 100th anniversary, and kind of trying to carry over a bit of that patriotic theme and you know, what is America really all about? And joining me here in the studio is Mayor Mickey Straub from Burr Ridge, who's the author of 50 Capitals in 50 States, Big Goals, Short Deadlines. And Mayor Straub, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, thank you, Rick, for the invitation. And I'm so glad that we have some mutual friends and Jim Webb and Tom Serafin. And it's just an honor to be here. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. And you know, here is in things people don't know. Here you are, the first person ever to recite the Gettysburg Address in all 50 capitals of the United States. And I mean, where did you kind of come up with this idea? You did this in 2012.
Yes, sir. It was, well, the idea originally of going to all 50 capitals actually came to me about 10 years earlier when I was counting up the number of capitals that my wife, daughter, and I had visited. I thought, wouldn't it be neat to take my daughter to all 50 capitals? But she became a teenager, and that dog wasn't going to hunt.
Yeah. Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Absolutely. And then 3 years before, I thought of the idea of 50 capitals in 50 days, because I like big goals and short deadlines, and I think it's especially motivational and inspirational. And but then the idea really came up to do it, well, about 3 months before I started training for it, and about three weeks before I actually committed to doing it.
And I mean, what is it about the Gettysburg Address that is so special to you, and why people should appreciate it more?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. I'm sorry I should have answered that first, because the Gettysburg Address, I think, is just one of the most amazing speeches and documents that's ever been produced and of course, recited. And it was Abraham Lincoln unified us in a time of our greatest peril. And I have to figure the Gettysburg Address, a lot of it has to do with the Gettysburg Address, that because of his message and how it was repeated and memorized by school children for years. And that's why I've always had an affinity for it. But the idea of actually reciting it at each capital, that idea actually came from a gentleman named John Morris out at Eureka College. We were trying to think of, what can I do that would be at each capital? You know, some people might do push-ups, or there's
right.
Some guy did like a goofy dance. Well, something that was significant and relevant to kind of the trip, which was done all in the spirit of Abraham Lincoln. And so we thought, you know, let's recite the Gettysburg Address.
And what's always amazing to me about this is that, you know, we're talking about when Lincoln delivered this. And, of course, this is after the Battle of Gettysburg and basically commemorating this as a national cemetery out there, but that it wasn't talking about divisions, you know, that existed at that time in the Civil War, but that also this is a time when oratory was, people would talk for hours. I mean, that was television, that was radio, that was what media was, were these public events. And here in these brief words, he sums up everything so eloquently. I mean, people could have missed it who were actually there. I mean, I think they were expecting some long, great oration.
Yes, they were, as was the case with the person that preceded him. That was actually the keynote speaker, Mr. Edward Everett, who was from Harvard. He was a former legislator.
And was noted for his oratory skills.
And he spoke for probably 2.5 hours.
Right. But then here is the president. And, I mean, it's just so overwhelming, I think, the Gettysburg Address and what it means.
Yes, absolutely. But here's another thing that was really amazing, and how coincidental it is that you invited me to talk on your show today. Because, number one, this is actually the 240th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
1776, 240 years. Now, normally people go like 200 and 250, but 240, I think, is rather significant.
I know. I was thinking of that, too, that we're coming up to 250 years of this country.
Yes. But in addition to that, There's a tremendous connection between July 4th and the Gettysburg Address. And
okay,
I see the perplexed look on your face. And,
okay.
And it's, but think of this. When Abraham Lincoln said 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated the proposition that all men are created equal. What time frame, what date was he referring to?
Well, he was referring to July 4th.
July 4th, Declaration of Independence. So there's a deep connection between the Gettysburg Address and 4th of July, and so significant, and why I'm especially thankful that you invited me.
When you decided to make this trip, and I mean, obviously there is a bit of planning to it, and of course, ironically enough, you got a Lincoln to drive for this, of course, and started off in Gettysburg. But did you really have any idea about just the immense physicality of having to go to crisscross the country?
No, I totally underestimated that. And so much of it was unplanned, and I felt like, as so many people said, that God had his hands on this, because I didn't plan it. It just kind of happened. I did plan a little bit ahead of time, obviously, to get about two-thirds of the trip pre-planned, but when I originally left, I thought about maybe shipping the car or having somebody drive, you know, between states. But I had no idea how difficult it would be physically. But as my wife said, I wasn't no longer a spring chicken, so I needed to get in shape for it. But still, I totally underestimated the amount of driving and the lack of sleep of 5 to 6 hours a night sleep. And driving 7 to 8 hours a day.
Well, and you started out, as I said, leaving Gettysburg, and then you find out that a lot of these East Coast capital are closed on the weekends.
Well, actually, that was we did the research ahead of time, uh-huh. So we knew only 24 capitals are open on weekends, and none of them, coincidentally, on the East Coast are open on weekends. But the good news was I was born and raised in Pennsylvania. And so I kind of knew the territory of the East Coast, but I was never up in Albany or Montpelier, Vermont, or even up to Maine. But I knew they were close together. And my goal was to be in every capital for 2 hours. So I wasn't just – I was just walking, driving right into the city and then driving
away.
Well,
because you wanted to meet with people and meet with officials. And, you know, this wasn't just done as a cosmetic kind of stunt.
No, actually it was – but I knew it took me 2 hours – to get what I needed. I was kind of like a little bit of a treasure hunt. Before I left, I actually practiced in 4 capitals, in Utah, Massachusetts, Illinois, and Indiana. And I knew that it took me about 2 hours to be on every floor, every wing, every house and Senate chamber, looking for these specific pictures that I was looking to take pictures of. And then to account for meeting the wonderful people that I met, what I call them capital angels, that just kind of saved me along the way and guided me and steered me in the right direction. But I was looking for any reference to God or Lincoln, and I added Liberty later because I couldn't find Lincoln south of New Jersey.
And we're going to talk a little bit about trying to find Lincoln in some of these southern states. We're speaking with Mickey Straub. He's the mayor of Burr Ridge, author of 50 Capitals in 50 States, Big Goals, Short Deadlines. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio with Burr Ridge Mayor Mickey Straub, author of 50 Capitals in 50 States, Big Goals, Short Deadlines, 14,900 miles driven, 250 to 275 hours on the road, 29 hours flying to Hawaii and Alaska, and a couple of trips back home, all to do 50 Capitals in 44 days, reciting the Gettysburg Address. What do you find in the Gettysburg Address? What does it mean, and what should we appreciate about it?
Well, a lot of people know this little fact about the Gettysburg Address, that there are no I's or me's in it, that the word I and the word me does not appear in the Gettysburg Address. But what sometimes gets overlooked is the presence of every time he refers to everybody else collectively, because the Gettysburg Address was obviously, you know, obviously given to dedicate the cemetery in honor of the veterans that fought there. But what he also did was he helped unify us in ways that no speech has done either before or since, because there are no I's or me's, but there are 10 we's, 3 us's, and 2 ours. So 15 times Abraham Lincoln refers to everybody else but himself. And wouldn't that be nice if more people in politics and in general thought in terms of us, not I, and we, not me? So that's one of the main things. That's the first thing that jumped out at me with the Gettysburg Address.
Now, we were talking off air, and you mentioned about everybody asked, what's your favorite state capital? And you said you really don't have any favorites. I think of all the time that I worked in Springfield and lived in Springfield and working in the Capitol. But when you work in a Capitol, you don't necessarily appreciate, what it means and what capitals symbolize.
Absolutely. And the old phrase about familiarity breeds contempt. A lot of people don't appreciate what's there. I took pictures and saw things that most people had no idea were there. Matter of fact, even most legislators in Illinois don't realize there's an exact replica of the Liberty Bell out in front of the Capitol building, largely because it's been defaced quite a bit and there's no plaque identifying what it is. But to your point, a lot of people are there and they work there. We're almost too close to recognize it. So on my two-hour journey for each capital, I was probably some of the most present times of my life where I was very present at the moment and saw things that some locals didn't sometimes.
Yeah, because for them it's just an office. It's just a workplace. You referred earlier to Capitol Angels, these people that were so helpful. I mean, give us an example of a Capitol Angel.
Oh, countless examples, but one of the first ones was a guy named Rick, who was a Capitol police officer in Pennsylvania, that he helped guide me through with Pennsylvania State Capitol, and then someone named Michelle Bean up in works for the Secretary of State in Vermont. She's an old friend. She really helped kind of save me in Vermont when I wanted to quit because I almost killed myself in a rainstorm without the windshield wipers breaking. But one of the most classic cases was in Annapolis, Maryland, when a Naval Academy student who looked like an angel himself, dressed in all white, when I felt almost like I was homeless, because I was living in hotels, of course, but traveling so much and living and moving things in and out of my car, I felt like I was homeless. And he gave me some motivation. He gave me a piece of advice. I thought it was great. Took me to lunch. I took him to lunch. Gave me a tour of the Naval Academy. And he was just one of the people that really made an impact on me and kind of showed up when I needed the most. Because I can't tell you, I did, the trip was called 50 Capitals in 50 Days, did it in 44, and 44 is about the number of times I wanted to quit.
Well, and before we took the break there, you referred about Abraham Lincoln in the South. And I would have to say, this could be somewhat intimidating going to some of these Southern capitals and delivering one of Lincoln's greatest speeches.
Well, you must have been reading my mind, because it was in Annapolis, Maryland. It was the first time that I thought, wait a second, was this a southern state or a northern state? And should I really be reciting this? And then Virginia especially, I thought, wait a second, I don't feel very comfortable with doing this with the backdrop of the Capitol building in the background. And then, of course, as I mentioned before, I couldn't find any references to Lincoln south of New Jersey, that's why I started taking pictures of Liberty. Also because I heard about the Liberty Bell replicas, which very few people know about.
Right, from then, and that was, National Park Service, wasn't it?
No, sir, it wasn't. In 1950, Treasury Secretary Snyder issued an exact replica of Liberty Bell to every capital in the country, and they were numbered. There was 53 of them. And ironically, Alaska has number one, I think, because alphabetically they were the first territory. But every capital is given an exact replica of Liberty Bell with a beautiful plaque, giving an opportunity to pronounce your dedication to the same individual freedoms our country's built on. But unfortunately, not all capitals have them on display.
Which seems very strange.
It does. And that's one of my long-term missions. I didn't think it was going to be a mission. This, by the way, this trip was supposed to have a clear beginning and end, but it seemed like a trip without any end. And that's one of the things that kind of developed from it. I'd like to maybe have the 50 Capitals Foundation or something dedicated to promoting, these type of symbols. Love for God and country, and make sure that the Liberty Bells are all out there.
Well, Mayor, this is what I consider to be the capital of Chicago radio, and so hitting a 51st capital, why don't you give us the Gettysburg Address?
Well, thank you. It'd be an honor, and also bring back memories. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth.
Mayor Straub, thank you so much. Burr Ridge Mayor Mickey Straub, author of 50 Capitals in 50 States, Big Goals, Short Deadlines. Thank you again for joining me here in the Showcase studio.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to be here at WGN.
We'll be back with more right after this.